address of what would good work look like.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church of Natick, I would like to welcome you here. It's a blessing for everybody to be here. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and we believe firmly that whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. A special, special welcome to Benjamin, Benny, and all, she doesn't have to shush, and all the people that he brought with him, and all the visitors who are here this morning. I want to assure you that you can't do anything wrong here. Just be yourselves. I do have a bunch of announcements. We will light the Christ candle shortly after a prayer, so those at home, please get a candle if you'd like to join with us in that ritual. Prayer requests can be emailed to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, and I will get them. Those here in the sanctuary may write them on cards that are in the pews, and the ushers will make sure that I get a copy of it. Or you may text it to me on my electronics. My cell number is 978-790-8250. Apparently Ned's not interested, but there is the playground over here that has all sorts of cool things for kids to play with and adults for that matter. So if any of the young people here this morning get a little restless, they're welcome to go over there and color or do all those cool things. Am I doing the update, Lane? The group, the delegation that went to Santa Maria Zeja in Guatemala are traveling back today. They should land around 5 o'clock, and I hope it was a great trip. Sarah Lynn, however, is left behind. She's having some sort of passport issue, I guess, getting back into the country, and she expects to be back by Tuesday. She didn't say what the issue was, but she expects to be back by Tuesday. Was that good, Lane? Okay. The young people of the church will be are collecting things for City Reach, excuse me, they're going to do an overnight in Boston to learn about homelessness, serve a meal, and provide clothing and other needed items to those without homes in downtown Boston. You can see the list up there of things that they need. They, with all due respect, I assume, they don't want anything else. That's what they want. I think the list might be in the bulletin, and if not, it is in the link. Shortly after worship, we will have a life-saving training. We have out in the narthex an AED, a defibrillator, thing to get your heart going again, and Narcan. And somebody's here who's going to train us on how to use that in the event of the, oh, Denise and Steve Palmer, excuse me. The soul sabbatical, the traditional Lent educational spiritual class will begin tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I think that there are materials at the doors, and if there are not, see me after worship. I'll make sure that you get them, or email me and I can email them to you. And there was a high absentee rate in the choir, so there won't be an anthem this morning. So let's turn our attention to worship and hear these words from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant mother love, blot out my transgressions. Thoroughly wash me from my iniquity, and from my sin cleanse me. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is perpetually before me. Against you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Therefore, you are justified in your verdict and blameless in your judgment. Look, I wriggled out in iniquity and was a sinner when my mother conceived me. Look, you desire truth in the inward parts, so teach me wisdom in secret. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and wipe out all my iniquities. Create a clean heart for me, God, and implant a new spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a generous spirit. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing with joy of your righteousness. Holy One, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give a burnt offering, you would not accept. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a crushed heart, O God, you will not despise. Will you please join your hearts with mine as we pray for the congregation and search team in the words of the church's prayerful hearts group? Holy One, source of all life and love, sustainer of all that is and will be, with confidence in your abiding presence, we offer our imperfect selves. We place our open hearts and minds before you. Imbue us with your spirit to lead us beyond judgment, beyond fear, beyond the limits of our expectations and understanding. Help us to discern your guidance with trust, patience, and a willingness to embrace new horizons. We pray these things with gratitude for your extravagant love and life that show us the way. Amen. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says to us, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Nan Shepherd writes, it is the eye that discovers the mystery of light, not only the moon and the stars and the vast splendors of the aurora, but the endless changes the earth undergoes under changing lights.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please join me in the responsive call to worship? Do we dare place our trust in God? God has promised to be with us, to guide us. Are we willing to continue on the journey when we don't know the dangers and are not sure of the destination? No matter what, God is with us. That's the promise, and that's the hope. Let us step forward boldly then, listening for God's call in our lives. Trust in God always. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for the singing of our first hymn, Nicodemus Sought Out Jesus. Please be seated. Would you please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Gracious and glorious God, we come, as did Nicodemus, with questions on our hearts and in our lives. We come hoping someone can help us find answers and healing. But we are also hardened with doubts about self, others, and even you. Grant us healing and openness to your spirit that may be your servants following the leading of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now confess and pray for forgiveness, first in silence and then together. Let us pray together. O God, we are such stubborn people. We want to know all the answers. We find it hard to place our trust even in Jesus. When he proclaims that we can have a new life, we want to know how that's possible. How can we get rid of old burdens and difficulties and start over again? Wouldn't it be just like climbing back into the womb to make a fresh start? How can we have misunderstood what Jesus has said? New life is possible. We can place our trust in God's healing care. Forgive us and help us, gracious God, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, new life has been given to us all. We can place our trust in God and follow God's way. God is with all of us, each and every day, now and always. Amen.
Friends, siblings, hear the promise of God to Sarah and Abraham. I will indeed bless you, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. With the people of Israel, we give thanks to God for the coming of Benjamin. For he is a sign of God's blessing, a gift of hope, a sign of long-time prayers finally being answered. God creates all things, and all life is a gift from God, and for this we give thanks. We give special thanks for children who remind us powerfully and personally of the reality of God's creating and creative powers. Children are a sign of God's blessing. They are also a sign of God's salvation. The trust of a child before all risks leads us in the way of God. The prophet Isaiah writes, "The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them." Jesus came into our midst as a child, and we are to come to Jesus with the openness of children. Only then can we have hope of entering the realm of God. Jesus said, "Who is my mother? And who are my siblings?" And stretching out his hands towards the disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters and my siblings, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and sibling and mother." This service offers thanks for God's creation and the hope of God's salvation. We give thanks to our creating God for the gift of children. Members of Christ's family, I present to you Benjamin Alexander Guerra, his parents, Lisa Furtado and Cindy Guerra, and his godparents, Catherine Shigaro and Rob Furtado. Please join your hearts with mine in prayer. O God, like a mother who comforts her children, you strengthen us in our solitude, you sustain us and provide for us. We come before you with gratitude for the gift of Benjamin, for the joy which has come into this family, and for the grace with which you surround them and all of us. As a father cares for his children, So continually look on us with compassion and goodness. Pour out your Spirit. Enable your servants to abound in love and establish our homes in holiness. Amen. Lisa and Cindy, in accepting Benjamin, Benny, as a gift from God, do you also acknowledge your faith and the responsibility that God places upon you? Do you acknowledge that Benjamin is a gift from the hand of our loving Creator? Do you accept the obligation which is yours to love and nurture him and to lead him to Christian faith by teaching and example? Do you acknowledge a need for the power of the Holy Spirit, the support of the church, your families and friends, so that you may be a good steward of this gift of life? Rob and Catherine, there's an old Jewish proverb, in time of travail, go to the friend of your parents. It is from that ancient wisdom that the idea of godparents comes from, or special people who dedicate themselves to watching out for the welfare of others' children. It's a noble and loving tradition to which you commit yourselves this day. In our complex world, it's just not possible for even the most loving and capable parents to raise a child alone. If our children are to become loving and independent adults, they need the wisdom, counsel, love, and support of many adult friends. You have been asked by Cindy and Lisa to accept a special honor and responsibility. Do you then, to the best of your abilities, covenant to supplement the care and love of Lisa and Cindy, both in the day-to-day development of Benjamin, and especially in the event of any extraordinary need? Would you please rise in body or spirit? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and commitment to Christ? Do you covenant to nurture Benjamin, his parents, his godparents, in the Christian faith and life, and include them in your care? Let's join in our hymn, I Was There to Hear Your Morning Cry.
Thank you.
almost your big moment, Benny. Would you join me in prayer? Loving God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, sanctify and bless this water, that it may be a sign of welcome and hospitality to Benjamin Alexander this day that he is baptized. Amen. What do you think, Lee? Let me hold him? Or I don't want to put him over the edge.
No.
I want to sit up because you're a big guy. Why don't you all come around and place your hands on him? Benjamin Alexander, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Benjamin Alexander, Benny, child of God, disciple of Christ, and member of the Church Universal, thanks be to God. Amen. Normally I'd walk around with him, but do you think you'll let me show him a couple of people? Let's go see who's who, Benny. See, that's look at all these people. You're going to walk around with us?
Maybe go walk
around. This is Doug and Sarah. Look at all these people waving to you. You want to look back there? I think we'll go back while this is still working. I haven't held one of them in a long time. Would you please rise in body or spirit and join me in welcoming Benny. Benjamin, we welcome you into the family of faith. God grant you strength for life's journey, joy in your faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ, who makes us one. Let us pray together. Gracious God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, out of the treasures of your love, strengthen us through your Spirit. Help us joyfully to nurture Benjamin within your church. Bring him by grace from baptism, that Christ may dwell in his heart through faith. Give power to him and to us, that with all your people we may grasp the breadth and length, the height and depth of Christ's love. Enable us to know this love, though it is beyond knowledge, and to be filled with your own fullness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's take a moment and share the peace of Christ with one another. The young people can go to godly play and connect now. And as we gather together again, I invite you to hear those by now familiar words of the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "It's not that you ought to give and leave yourselves in hardship, but there should be a fair balance. Your surplus at present may fill their deficit, and at another time their surplus may fill your deficit." Let's continue to worship God with our offering. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we dedicate to you not only these gifts, but also ourselves in deep gratitude for your call on our lives, your guidance on the baptismal journey, and for blessing us that we may bless others. Accept what we bring for your own good purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, beautiful people of the FCC.
Good morning.
We're going to be reading the scripture today in Spanish and in English. En Spanish, para darle la bienvenida a la familia de Benjamín, a la familia americana y a la familia chilena, especialmente porque yo también soy de Chile. Así que muy bienvenidos. Entonces, ahora la lectura bíblica que está tomada del libro de San Juan, capítulos 3, versículos 1 al 21. Había entre ellos, entre los fariseos, un dirigente de los judíos llamado Nicodemo. Este fue de noche a visitar a Jesús. Rabí, le dijo, sabemos que eres un maestro que ha venido de parte de Dios, porque nadie podría hacer las señales que tú haces si Dios no estuviera con él. De veras te aseguro que quien no nazca de nuevo no puede ser del reino de Dios, dijo Jesús. ¿Cómo puede uno nacer de nuevo siendo ya viejo? Preguntó Nicodemo. ¿Acaso puede entrar por segunda vez en el vientre de su madre y volver a nacer? Yo te aseguro que quien no nazca de agua y del Espíritu no puede entrar en el reino de Dios, respondió Jesús. Lo que nace del cuerpo es cuerpo. Lo que nace del Espíritu es Espíritu. No te sorprendas que te haya dicho, tienen que nacer de nuevo. El viento sopla por donde quiere y lo oyes silbar, aunque ignoras de dónde viene y a dónde va. Lo mismo pasa con el Espíritu. Nicodemo replicó, ¿cómo es posible que esto suceda? Tú eres maestro de Israel y no entiendes estas cosas, respondió Jesús. Te aseguro que hablamos de lo que sabemos y damos testimonio de lo que hemos visto personalmente, pero ustedes no aceptan nuestro testimonio. Si les he hablado de las cosas terrenales y no creen, entonces, ¿cómo van a creer si les hablo de las celestiales? Nadie ha subido jamás al cielo, sino que el que descendió desde el cielo, el Hijo del Hombre. ¿Cómo levantó Moisés la serpiente en el desierto? Así también tiene que ser levantado el Hijo del Hombre, para que todo el que crea en él tenga vida eterna. Porque tanto amó Dios al mundo, que dio a su Hijo unigénito, para que todo el que cree en él no se pierda, sino que tenga vida eterna. Dios no envió a su Hijo al mundo para condenar al mundo, sino para salvarlo por medio de él. El que cree en él no es condenado, pero el que no cree ya está condenado por no haber creído en el nombre del Hijo unigénito de Dios. Esta es la causa de la condenación, que la luz vino al mundo, pero la humanidad prefirió las tinieblas a la luz, porque sus hechos eran perversos. Pues todo el que hace lo malo aborrece la luz y no se acerca a ella por temor a que sus obras queden al descubierto. En cambio, el que practica la verdad se acerca a la luz para que se vea claramente que ha hecho sus obras en obediencia a Dios. Aquí termina la palabra de Dios.
So this is the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God.
What I'm about to say, some people just won't get. Others might, and it's probably dependent upon your age. It's probably drawing an analogy too far. Here's what I'm wondering. After reading and praying John's gospel text as I was writing this sermon over the course of the week, did Nicodemus of 30-ish AD come back to life as Edith Bunker in the 70s? One of the most obvious similarities between the two is that both were people of great faith. Nicodemus is described as a teacher of Israel, a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews. Edith, she went to church every Sunday. She heard Reverend Fletcher preach and often came home and shared her insights with Archie. Each in their own way and in their own culture, Nicodemus and Edith Bunker were people of great faith. But the one that makes me really wonder if they're the same soul animating different bodies is what I used to think of as Edith Bunker moments. And now I think of Nicodemus moments. For those of you who remember the show, do you remember Edith's reaction to someone's statement when she really didn't understand what the person meant? Now I get it. With a big smile beaming across her face. Unlike sainted Edith, an essentially powerless, high school educated, middle class woman, Nicodemus appears to be coming from a place of strength. He's one of the power elite. He's an educated man in an age when most folks can't even read. A respected leader, he probably lives a comfortable life in material terms. And as the lesson said, he was a Pharisee, which was considered the most expert and accurate expositors of Jewish law. Both Nicodemus and Edith seemed to have those moments when they were overwhelmed by insight and knowledge, moments when only by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, they were each able to say, "I'm transformed. I see it now. I get it." Moments when the Holy Spirit intercedes for us to pry open the doors of our minds and see things in a new way. Moments like we have had with the care of a skilled, gifted, and caring therapist. And it's in those moments, John tells us, that we experience the unconditional and powerful love of God, those rare moments in which the tectonic plates of our most firmly held convictions shift in a new and life-giving configuration, moments that answer Nicodemus's question, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Oh, now I get it. In his own fumbling way, Nicodemus expresses the kind of confusion we can all feel when we stumble over our preconceived notions of who God is and how God acts. Jesus is offering Nicodemus the possibility of personal transformation, of rebirth and wholeness. And it's in those moments that the Spirit can come and blow through our preconceived notions and tightly wound ideas to open us to the possibility of new life and set us free from our prisons of being rightness. Like many of you, I suppose, I can look back over the course of my life and see an occasional Nicodemus moment. A moment when my preconceived notions of what God is and how God acts changed in a foundational and transformative way. It was in years past when our family was in the midst of an earth-shattering crisis. Unquestionably the darkest moment of our lives. It was a moment when one we loved so dearly was going through the undisputed, absolute worst time of their life, both then and now. Our loved one was unable to articulate their pain, and we were unaware of it. Safely locked away in our prisons of being rightness. Like Nicodemus, we found ourselves fumbling around in the dark, dazed and confused, looking for answers. Not only were we fumbling around in the dark like Nicodemus, we were too afraid to even move. It was in that moment that I could most easily identify with Nicodemus. Like Nicodemus, I come from a place of strength. Given my gender, my age, my size, education, upbringing, and profession, among other things, I'm among the power elite. I'm lucky, fortunate, privileged that people accord me the respect attached to the office of pastor, and I live a life comfortable in material terms. But in this instance, I just wasn't getting it. Nothing made sense anymore. It was as if the lenses in my glasses were changed into spinning kaleidoscopes and I was looking directly at the sun. All my executive function skills on which I pride myself to get things done and move through complications and overcome adversity and get my family what we need, all those things which I rely on daily were of no use to me. It's not that I couldn't access those skills and gifts. I could. They weren't of any use to me in this situation. Let's travel in our minds for a moment to the village of Constitución, Chile. There had very recently, around the time of our crisis, been an earthquake that was centered there. The earthquake, terremoto, is that right? Terremoto at 7.1 on the Richter scale was the most devastating in recorded history. It was followed by a tsunami, Maremoto, which then washed the crumbled remains of many cities and towns into the sea. Imagine those tectonic plates in and around Chile, the areas in which people we love dearly live, had been reduced to rubble, leaving more than 500 people dead, and the rest essentially homeless, and the infrastructure had been reduced to nothing. Total devastation. Now, back to Worcester, Massachusetts. Unbeknownst to me, Karen Nell, my lovely wife, called our dear friend and colleague, Beverly Prestwood Taylor. Karen Nell wanted to share what we were going through, share the burden, and seek support. Moments later, after she hung up with Beverly, Karen Nell's phone rang. Hello? The tears started dripping down Karen Nell's face. She wasn't speaking, just nodding gently, crying. And after several moments of silence, Karen Nell looked at me, shaking her head in disbelief. That was Elena, Karen Nell said. That was Elena, our dear friend Elena Hegel, who is the United Church of Christ missionary to La Iglesia Pentecostal de Chile. Elena just called me from Talca, Chile. After I spoke with Beverly, Beverly called Elena in Chile, and Karen Nell's tears started all over again. Elena's been on the phone and computer since Beverly's call. Elena has sent emails to all the churches of the IPC who have computers. And those that didn't have computers, she telephoned them personally. The entire La Iglesia Pentecostal de Chile was praying for us. Throughout the country, praying for us. What could I possibly say? Oh, now I get it. This isn't about me and what I can do. I have to let go completely. It was as if the tectonic plates of my most firmly held convictions shifted into a new and life-giving configuration. I had to let go completely. It was a moment when the Spirit interceded to pry open those tightly sealed doors of my mind, and I saw things anew. A moment when my Chilean sisters and brothers and siblings halfway around the world, many of whom I had never met, people who can't even dream of having what I have, were praying for me. People who had suffered loss and devastation and trauma and destruction and illness that I can't even begin to imagine from the shifts in the Earth's tectonic plates, a moment when they're on their knees in what remains of their church buildings praying for us. What's the common thread here? What binds us to Nicodemus with a gift with which Edith Bunker was born? What's the good news for us gathered here this morning? Both Nicodemus and I, educated religious men, leaders of religious communities, agents of God's blessings to others, we thought, we knew, we had to believe exactly the right thing, the right way. We knew how important being right was, how important being right is. Until that didn't work anymore. And we felt isolated, cut off from God, from each other, from those that we love. We were exiled to a strange and far-off country, wondering, as the psalm says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Now, like me, Nicodemus may not have known physical hunger, but his spiritual hunger drives him to Jesus in the dark of night, when many of us wrestle with doubts and questions and face our deepest needs. In our dark nights, Nicodemus and I were struggling with our belief in God, beliefs we thought we had right. We were all plugged in and had it figured out. Those dark nights are what Valerie Clower says. They are not darkness of the tomb. They are the darkness of the womb. Marcus Borg writes in The God We Never Knew about what it means to believe. Rather than strict intellectual assent to propositions and claims, he speaks of belief as trust, as faithfulness, and in a very general sense, the belief that there's something to all of this. Borg says that faith that believes God is not something we can simply on our own. We are led into it. It grows. It's not a requirement that we are to meet, but a quality that grows as our relationship with God deepens. But we do have to take that first step, he says, and then another. though sometimes we are virtually pushed into this by desperation or led into it by example or experience, we have to let go. We have to follow the Spirit's leading. In the end, Nicodemus' curiosity led him to new awareness, to let go of being able to believe in the right way. And he was given the gift of transcending what he thought he knew. And he was redefined or transformed in the process. Oh, now I get it. Sisters and brothers and siblings, the question the scripture leaves us with, can we leave this place today open to the possibility that we will encounter a God who will redefine us and transform our believing as well? Join me, won't you? Let's just take the first step, and then another. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we pray, I invite you, ask you to hold on your hearts the list of names on the prayer list in the bulletin, to let you know that the delegation to Santa Maria Zeha expects to arrive back around 5 o'clock today, I'm told, except for Sarah Lynn, who's stuck in Guatemala with some issue. She should be home Tuesday. Other joys, concerns, prayers, celebrations that people will like held before the congregation. Thanks be to God. Doug Shirley, Karen's dad, is continuing to improve. His creatinine level is down to 2.6, which Karen tells me is good news.
It was 13.
Others? Heather? Gratitude for memories of children in the sanctuary, especially sparkly dresses. Others? I'm sorry, Miriam, did you have your hand up? No? Would you please join me in prayer, in a prayer written by the leadership of the United Church of Christ, John Dorhauer, the executive minister, Tracy Blackman, and Karen Thompson, both associate ministers. They wrote this prayer in observance of the year anniversary of the invasion of Ukraine. Creator God, maker of all that is good, comforter God, restorer of peace between all peoples, Redeemer God, healer of wounds that inflict trauma and chaos, we turn to you this day, crying out for an end to a war that rages across the land of Ukraine, threatens the lives of its inhabitants, and displaces millions of children no longer able to sleep in their beds, attend their schools, or play with their friends. May your spirit of peace soften the hearts of the politicians who rattle their sabers and threaten nuclear annihilation. May your vision of a just world thwart the ambitions of dictators who are thirsty for conquer and lusting for lands over which to rule. May your hope of shalom engender within our own hearts the call to let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. Help us to find the pathway to peace, a just peace built on human rights and equity, not just in Ukraine, but in every land where bombs and guns are the sounds to which children fall asleep and from which families flee. You are the source of our peace. You are the horizon of our hope. You are the author of our love. May the promise of you, your enduring peace, your abiding hope, and your everlasting love sustain us all and bring the promise of a new and better day to the people of Ukraine. O Creator God, we pray these things as Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, would have us pray. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And there's another prayer request that was being prayed for, even though I didn't say it, that Lisa and Cindy are here in the sanctuary. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God? Sisters, brothers, siblings, go from here, from this place, with the belief, the knowledge, the experience that the darkest of nights, that dark is not the dark of the tomb, but the dark of the womb. And as you go, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen. Please be seated.